This episode of The A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
Cards in hand is a good resource,
yeah.
You usually prefer to play them.
Yeah. You know what's great about this conversation is that we had it after I ordered four.
But then on turn four, you can pay even more mana and make them less good than a Seed Rhino.
It's true. It's totally true.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI Court for mises they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
And of course, they rag on me for not talking enough.
Nice.
Listen to me now, bitch.
That's you.
Jay Boosh.
You know what? This is how it works. I'm not old as fuck, and I don't play any. And those are the two things that apparently matter when you want to play Mindflayer.
Scotty.
And I cashed that GP. Like, that's legit. Like, for me, being just the fucking dad grinder, that's a huge deal.
And Jeremy.
Sometimes you just have to be that guy. We're like, oh, you want to play some Modern? It's like, yeah, I want to play some Modern. And it's like, I'll suspend a Lotus Bloom. And they're just like, oh, why did I want to play Modern with you?
And now, the A-Team.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 214 of the A-Team Podcast. This is KYT, joined by three of my bestest friends. We have here at number one, Mr. Scotty Mack. How's it going?
Awesome!
We also got Jay Boosh in the house.
Hello! Number
two. And... Huh? And... Judge, Jury, and Executioner, Jeremy Schofield.
Sarkin Balls travels 1,280 years back in time to change the moment that sealed Tarkir's fate. The battle between Nicol Bolas and Ugin.
What the fuck?
The clan still exists back in
time. What's wrong with you?
They are not fighting each other, but are constantly fending off the Legion hordes of
the
Dread.
The Legion hordes!
Their world, the history of Tarkir.
This is that ice cold Michelle Pfeiffer, that white gold. Mm.
Call the fire department.
Chuck on with Saint Laurent. I gotta kiss myself. I'm so pretty.
We are hyped tonight.
What's up?
So hot. Call the police. Call the fireman. Too hot.
Hot.
Wow.
So, what's up? What's happening?
Wow.
Hallelujah. Ooh. Girl sex. Hallelujah. Ooh. Okay, here we'll start talking about Magic right now. Update, I'm on cubetutor.com. I'm looking at my cube, but you can search by looking up Jay's cube, and also it's just 6972. Go to cubetutor.com/viewcube/6792. Or sorry, 6972. 6972. Anyway, I have five cards of every guild, except for Dimir, which I only have four of, because I can't really find a good blue black card. But somehow I have six Gruul cards, so I could easily cut like Burning Tree Emissary, which I purchased, which is unfortunate. And then, but I only have three Izzet cards, so
put Silgar in there.
Silgar, who the fuck is that?
The blue black dragon.
What is? That's who I am doing that actually.
Problem solved.
Problem solved. So now, how do we find two more Izzet cards that are good enough for cube?
Do they exist?
I actually just don't think they do. Like, okay, what I have right now is Dax Duplicate.
Yeah.
So Ace, okay. Ace Throne, yep. Clone, right?
Yep.
That card's insane. I have Rao Zarek, who every time I try to take it out, people are like, nah. But he's a fine Planeswalker. He's just in bad colors, unfortunately. And then I have Keranos, who the other day I just absolutely ranched someone with.
He's so insane, that card.
Yeah. So those are the three cards. But then there's like, okay, so you could play like Dak Faden, who was in here before that nobody drafted because he's terrible, because it's unpowered. And even in a powered cube, I don't know if I would play him. But then, like, what even other cards are there?
Like, what do you guys like? Do you like RNG in your cube at all?
RNG?
Yeah, like random number generator.
Like RNGesus?
Yeah.
No.
Like, what about the time walk that's 3 mana that you flip a coin?
Oh, you flip like 2 coins and if you win them both?
No, you just, I think it's just flip a coin.
No, I'm not into that.
Okay.
Okay, so there's Blast of Genius, not so great.
No.
There's Call to Skybreak, not so great. Costs 7 fucking mana.
Oddly enough, the thing on Magic Online, this
like
new
counter, like Counterflux? No.
No. Oh, that's not right.
Yeah. Like there's Cunning Strike, which I thought of. But I think even that's probably like that's even too much money, is it not? I mean too many manas. Like 5 mana for instant speed shock to a player and a creature and then you draw a card. Like by the time you play this in cube, anything you're killing with it is I don't know, attack you 10 times? Like then there's Dak Faden, which I think is fine. You draw 2 cards and discard 2 cards and shit. But then nope, nobody wants to play that.
No, they don't want to play Dak Faden?
No, they didn't want to play him. He's just like, I don't know. There's not a deck for him. Like he's just a value card that goes in. If you're already playing red blue, he's just a value card that goes in there. But like I said, gain control of target artifact isn't as good if you don't have like power to steal or power to get him out early and steal something like a turn 1 Soul Ring or something, right?
Do you like Cerebral Vortex? Have you seen that card?
Cerebral Vortex. I'm going to go up there right now. Cloven Casting? Cloud of the Dominus? Chemistry? Cerebral Vortex. 3 mana. Target player draws 2 cards. Then this card deals damage to them equal to the number of cards they've drawn this turn. That seems bad. Is that good?
Well, it's like you draw cards and you take a bit of damage for it. But like, it'd also be like a...
It's like Sign of Blood, I guess, right?
Draw. Yeah, it's kind of... Well, it hits them for 3 on their turn.
Yeah, or you draw 2 and take 2.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Dragon Shift, but somebody told me not to play that card. Dragon Shift is a 3-mana instant that makes your target creature a 4/4 dragon with no abilities but flying. But you can overload it for 7. All of your creatures.
Wasn't that a card that didn't even get played in draft?
I'm not sure. Like, I didn't play that format ever. But, like, I don't know, 3 mana to make your, like, I don't know, 2/2 guy who's not relevant anymore a 4/4 dragon now? That's not good? I mean, there's Electrolyze, I guess. An epic experiment. Ugh.
No.
Maybe it... See, this is the problem with, like, blue-red spells. Because it used... Like, I used to have Ethereum Horn Sorcerer in there, which is a 6-mana 3/6 that has Cascade. And then you can pay 3 mana to bounce it back to your hand, so you can just Cascade every turn with this big, fat blocker.
Yeah.
But he's just, like, nobody would play him. He just... Because he's not exciting enough, right?
What about, like, Hypersonic Dragon?
Yeah, Hypersonic Dragon. Yeah, that's
kind of lame.
It is kind of. That's the thing, right? Like that's the problem with blue red cards. They're just I don't know.
Yeah. Is it charm just too lame, or is it charm good enough?
Yeah, like is it charm used to be in there, but nobody played it because there's like it's just a counter spell most of the time, and most of the time you just.
What about that?
You've got Electrolyze in there, obviously.
No, Electrolyze isn't in there. I could put it in there.
Yeah, you should put it in there. Electrolyze is just like a supremely good cheap value card that a lot of decks will play. Just
what about
play
like? What about, like, Electrolyze and then, like, Goblin Electromancer?
No.
I don't like Electromancer. No, okay. No, I think it's kind of pigeonholed into the archetypes.
Right.
But I can get myself behind an Electrolyze pretty quickly.
Okay. So we have one. We have one more card to go. Hmm.
Did you say Counterflux? Yes, no?
Yeah, I said Counterflux. It's just, like, regular counter spells, like, Cancel are just better than that card. Like, well, in terms of people playing them, they just don't want to play cards like that.
What about something stupid like Quicksilver Dagger?
Quicksilver Dagger. That's like an enchantment and you tap it to like deal a damage or something?
Yeah, but you draw a card also. So it taps to deal a damage, draw a card.
Hmm.
Kind of put it in the weird aura spot.
Yeah, that isn't a weird aura spot. What about like just Joyra?
Nah. Are you playing Call of the Skybreaker?
No.
That's a cool one.
So Call of the Skybreaker, it's a retrace card. It's in one of the Commander decks too. It's an Eventide rare. But it's like hybrid. 5?
Oh, yeah, we just talked about that. 7 mana, right?
Yeah. I don't like that.
Nobody's going to play that card for 7 mana.
Okay.
I was thinking about Marchesa Smuggler. He has Dethrone and then gives a creature haste and can't block for 3. But he just dies really easily, right?
Yeah.
What about Steam Augury?
Augury.
That's the bad
stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not very good. Like, it's worse than Mercurial Chemister, who used to be in the
Better question. What is your blue-red deck?
Are you playing... yeah, because are you playing... is it Kronarch or is it Staticaster?
No.
Like, what does the blue-red deck look like in your cube?
I'm not sure. Like, I'm sure it would play Ralzeric and Karanos and then just try to fucking Goblin Guide Delver you. I'm not
then
sure.
Then 100% you should be playing Mindswipe.
Yeah, Mindswipe.
What about Turn and Burn? Does that count?
Oh, shit, that's dirty.
It wasn't there, but I took it out. But I could put it back.
I really like Nin the Pain Artist, too, as a card, if she's not in there.
Nin the Pain Artist deals X damage to a creature that creature's controller draws X cards.
And you of course, are playing Prof Bolt, right?
No, I took that out. 6 mana.
Really? Prof Bolt?
5 mana, isn't it?
5.
5 mana.
Yeah, that's too many mana, man.
No way, man. Not for that deck.
That's so good. Yeah, I really like that card a lot. I think you're missing a few.
So it should be like Electrolyze and Prophetic Bolt.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I think so.
Ugh, those cards are fucking terrible.
But those cards are great in that deck.
Okay.
Like if you draft all those blue red cards, if they all manage to be in the packs of that cube, I think you're a happy camper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay, great. How's everybody else doing?
I don't get it.
What the fuck? Oh my god. In Vegas, if we play Vegas. When we go to Vegas and we cube, you can't cube like you did in Portland. Did you cube with us in Portland?
No, I didn't. Was I?
Yeah, didn't you cube with us and it was a fucking abortion? It was like 5 color garbage. No?
Sure. I did not. I did not cube with you. No.
I'm sure that you did.
You may have cubed with with Jackie Chan.
Well, for sure I did. Yeah. I remember that.
And you may have mistaken him for me now that he calls himself the evil version of me. So. No. And he's giving me shit.
KYT is?
He's giving me shit because I'm not calling out his I'm not giving him shout outs because apparently his Geist deck puts Scott's deck to like the dumpster or something.
Yeah, it really does. But then you've got to play such format defining all stars as what is the blue shoal and
disrupting shoal?
Disrupting shoal, yep. And main deck meddling mages and Gataxian probes and
this guy's proud of this?
Yeah. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong, when you play, 50% of all the same cards that I do, then, cards like that Shoal are pretty good. You know? You can counter a Geist for free. Woo! Play Delvers and Mana Leaks and Shoals and stuff. The deck's fine. It probably needs some work to, like, demolish the metagame, but it does a real tidy job of like blowing the Geist Mirror out because it's faster and plays its spells for free. So it doesn't have Lightning Bolt, but it plays like Vapor Snag and stuff instead. But anyways, it's cute. The deck's cute. It's reasonable, but I think it needs work to like get insane. So my 2 cents. Shout out to Jackie. Hey, Jackie.
Go, Jackie.
Boo, Jackie.
Boo, Jackie.
Jackie, absolutely. We've talked about this before. Jackie absolutely fucking ranched me. When we drafted Modern Masters, it wasn't even fun. That kid just destroyed me. He's playing like Goblin Storm or something. It fucking ranched me so hard.
Jackie was our sealed deck consultant all day at the face-to-face pre-release last week.
Hmm.
Yep. We'd be like, all right, Jackie, I have to cut one card.
And he's great at that.
He's that guy, right? It's so
yeah.
What do you think? Show me your pool. Switch these 2 cards around. Done. Wicked. Borrow,
yeah.
So, yeah, he's good like that. But, yeah, and so that's this week has been interesting. There's been less of the magical things happening on the Magic Onlines. It's been sad, and I've been left wanting.
Oh, I think Modern's great right now on Magic Online.
No, it's really not.
But
But you get to play with all... Oh.
Yeah. So I played Geist with Dig Through Time. And I got called a cheater.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, to be fair, it was Harry Corvacy and we were having fun, but still, he called me a cheater.
I can't believe you would cheat Harry.
I know, he's such a nice guy. After leading me, after like counseling us to our undefeated team sealed event at GP Montreal, I mean, how could I beat him so badly? It was fun. I did it on stream. He was playing Boggles and I ranched him, and it was amazing.
Daggles.
Killed him on turn 3 from 13.
Daggles.
Maybe turn 4. Daggles. Still gross. Anyway, so shout out to him. Marcel from Brainstorm Brewery fame has been playing Blue Red Delver in all of the queues and demolishing everybody.
Everyone.
Everyone. And he's just like, yep, yeah, Blue Red Delver. My balls, your face. It's been stellar for him. So I don't know what he's going to play when all of the rotation hits on Wednesday, but...
What rotation?
What rotation? What I mean by that is the modern bannings ticket.
What modern bannings?
Stop. Where were you last week? Who are you? What have you done with Jeremy?
I'm playing Dredge Online and somebody thought seized me.
So anyways, that's... So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good. I cannot wait for Fate Reforged to hit online. It has some mission critical tools that I need to make my deck amazing. But that'll all change as of Wednesday because the bannings will tick into place. And when do pre-releases actually start for MTGO?
Isn't it Friday?
Yeah, something like
that. No, maybe it's actually Saturday. I thought it was Friday, though.
It's whatever you need it to be, my friend.
Mm.
Well, I'm going to play with it on Thursday. I'm going to go up in a draft on Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern against Paul Cheon, Kenji, Simon Gortzen, Julian Nab, Graham Stark from Loading Ready Run, and Marshall Sutcliffe, and somebody from Wizards, probably Aaron Forsyth, if my Twitter handles are to be believed. And we get to play in a Fate Reforged KTK booster draft online.
Cool.
I'm gonna
Why?
Special invite.
Nice.
Yeah. So Lily's going to join me for that one. So my deck's probably going to be better than I would draft. But it's going to be sweet. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Fate Reforged online. It's going to be so amazing. Like, ridiculous amazeballs. But, yeah, they're all Phantom packs. Boo. So I guess that means if Friday is the day, then we have Friday to look forward to.
I'm excited.
I am, too. Play with the goods. You know who got to play with the goods this weekend?
Who?
Right.
Everybody. Yeah. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Married, remember? Everybody that went to DC, actually, that played in the Star City event. There was a standard open for 2 days, and then there was the modern and legacy 5K, what do they call them? SCG IQs. But there was some really neat stuff that came up, some new decks that popped up in the horizon. For those of you that are still playing in standard pre-TQs that have been waiting for all of the goods to happen, they are here. The event was won, of course, by Gerard Fabiano, good old G-Fabs. Took it down with a version of Sultai Control, featuring such amazing all-stars that we are prepared, that we've seen on the regular as Interpret the Signs, Rakshasa's Secret, and, oh wait. Wait, no, those don't see play anywhere.
No. Those aren't good cards.
Oh, right. Now, having said that, watching Rakshasa's Secret in effect was actually very powerful out of this deck. I was thoroughly impressed with it. By the way, he plays Feed the Clan in the sideboard, just so that we're clear. Feed the Clan. Green, one instant. You gain 5 life. Ferocious, gain 10 instead.
Damn.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was really neat. It was a deck that really wanted to just kind of leverage Delve like crazy. He was playing 4 copies of Dig Through Time, some Murderous Cuts. Really flipping over the graveyard with cards like Rakshasa's Secret, and playing such amazing ramp spells like Ugin Garrick Apex Predator, and then just Ashiok and Kiora to round out the Planeswalkers. Copies of Tazigar and Silumgar in the sideboard kind of round out the Fate Reforged standouts. Watching Gerard play in the semifinals, Tazigar is insane.
Yeah.
Every bit as ridiculous as advertised, if not more so. I was thoroughly impressed by him.
Yeah, like, I didn't think so. I didn't think he was going to be good at all.
What?
Like, I didn't really buy into that. I didn't think he was going to be crazy good or anything.
Yeah, and Taro Undune, Tassigar.
In, like, standard or just in general?
In general, this guy is, like, cube busted.
I don't even know if he'll go in my cube.
You're fucking high.
Wrong. You're wrong. Like, I was wrong to not play that card last week. Wrong.
Thank you.
You think
Yeah, the manifest. Good job.
Oh, holy fuck. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so just, like, explain to me.
Okay.
Wrong.
Oh, okay.
No, go ahead, go. Explain to you which.
Just explain to me, like where he is that good. Like, where sure. He becomes... Okay, so let me look at this card. So it's a six-mana guy, 5 and a black, with delve.
Yeah.
He's a 4/5, and then for 4 mana... 2 of it being hybrid blue-green. You mill 2, and then an opponent picks a non-land card and puts it back in your hand.
Right. Okay.
So
hold on. So there are things that you need to consider about this card.
Raj.
Okay. How many colored mana symbols are in its casting cost?
1.
Uno more. Super major ridiculous amazeballs relevant.
I guess, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Like...
Okay. Now, on top of that... You then look at his at the next ability that reduces his casting cost, which is Delve?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're probably going to play this in a Delve-style archetype.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, this from a standard perspective is way more relevant than Cube, mm-hmm. but he's actually so good that you may want to consider if you don't already have it. Like, because there was a lot of cards that came out of this set. Mm-hmm. You could create a Delve subset of cards that would help enable a self-mill and utilization strategy. That I think would create a really sweet deck in your queue. Okay? Just throwing it out there.
Seder Wayfinder.
I mean,
the problem is, like, those cards in a 600-card cube become a lot less valuable because you have to get them together, right? Like, I can understand if, like Tassigar seems like a card that would be good anyway.
Yes, he is.
Like, he'd be good in a Delve deck, but he'd also just be good in, like, a blue-black or a black-green control where you're just, like, trading Doomblades for guys constantly and rafting and all this shit.
Pay 4, mill 2 cards, maybe Lance, maybe not. Okay.
But then, like,
Which card of my 6 Doomblades would you like to put back in my hand?
Yeah, like, I guess the issue is, like, can they not just constantly choose to give back, like, the worst card that doesn't do anything? Like,
but that's why you're looking at Delve as an ability, right? So, like, when you cast him, you can clean out all the chaff from your yard.
Right.
Which is super relevant. So, if you're ever casting him, like, for more than 3 mana, you're probably doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So then you consider him in the perspective of a 4/5 for 3 mana, or less, with the capacity to come into play and optimize the potential for his actual added ability as he enters the battle. So he, like, enables himself.
Right.
Yeah. So he's really, really, really good. Especially if the games are designed to go longer and grindier. Mm-hmm. The fact that he just, like, continually gets back resources and it doesn't tap. So you just, like, keep using it. If you got a lot of mana, like, late game, and you use them to draw 4 cards that don't suck, it's insane. Yeah. And if you're playing spells like Treasure Cruise, Dig Through Time, and Murderous Cut with him, he just, like, he becomes literally spells.
I was under the impression that you don't want a whole bunch of Delve cards together in the same deck, because then, like, you Delve, and I've had this happen to me, where you have, like, Dig Through Time and Treasure Cruise in the same, even in the same cube deck,
mm-hmm.
and you end up just only being able to cast one of them because you Delve a bunch and then you now can't Delve anymore.
Draft more cantrips.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, that also kind of stands to reason on the point of how well are you supporting it with the supplementary cards in your queue, right?
Yeah,
so if you're going to add a higher volume of these sorts of cards to your cube, then you should probably also add some enablers to it as well to help like make the archetype better, right? Because like, you can put green red, you can put Domirade in your cube, and he's
yeah,
gone.
I can put him back in there, yeah.
Right? No, I'm just saying, yeah, but you took him out because nobody was drafting the green red deck because you weren't providing them with
yeah.
the resources or cards to incent them to draft it. So
yeah.
the same sort of thing, like yeah, Tazgur is going to be fine, but you could probably put Tazgur, Murderous Cut, Dig Through Time, and Treasure Cruise all in your cube if you have
they
it already, right?
Yeah, they are, yeah. Just not Tassigrain.
Sure, sure. But like, then you can add some of the cards, like add a Seder Wayfinder, add a Communion of the Gods. More importantly, add Seder Wayfinder, add a Mulch. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, really? You can also add, like, and then you can have flashback spells. You know, like,
and
that's
you would
thing.
Play these.
Yeah, sure. If I fucking pack one, picked one Tazgur, or pack one, picked one, like, you know what I mean? Like, if I got in
yeah,
my
see,
first...
That's the problem with cards like that, is like, Cube is very difficult because support cards...
Okay, you're not going to draft more than one or two Delve cards unless you've got the support cards or the bombs.
Yeah,
defeat,
like,
right?
And that's kind of the problem, right? Is, like, if you don't get Tassigur early, then these cards end up, like, going super late and sitting in sideboards, and that's probably why, like, a lot of them aren't in here already.
Okay, but the first time that you actually put them all together and draft the Delve deck, you're going to
oh, yeah,
basically brown town all of your friends and be like, you guys are fucking idiots for not drafting this deck! I can't believe you let me backdoor this shit! And you will pick
oh, yeah, it's true. Like, somebody was trying to tell me, he constantly is giving me advice that I don't agree with, but, I mean, he's been cubing a lot longer than I have. But he's constantly...
constantly?
Yeah, just constantly.
Unyielding advice.
But, you know, the thing, you know what's great about it, though, is that he's always there to answer my questions immediately. Like, he's not one of those people who you're like, hey, what about this? And then they tell you, and then you don't take their advice, and then they... get mad at you. Like, I'm not specifically asking him. That's different. If I come to you constantly and ask you for advice and then do the exact opposite, like, yeah, tell me to fuck off. But if I just put it out there, hey, everybody, do you like green? And then you're like, no, green's a stupid color. Purple's the best. Yeah. Then, like, you know, you can't be mad at me for not thinking purple's the best. But I appreciate that you're constantly telling me wrong information. Because at least then it leads me on the right path. Right? So this guy's constantly giving me, advice about cube that I don't agree with, but again, he's been cubing a lot longer than I have, so I'm not saying he's absolutely wrong, but just doesn't seem like it. Anyway, he was telling me about a mono black deck in his cube that he has like supported, like it's an archetype or whatever, right? And it's like a mono black like sacrifice deck, like it has like it plays like what are those bad cards? Like Blood? The guy who... Blood Artist? It plays like Blood Artist and cards that like enable him.
All
so
right.
Not only Blood Artist.
So the like, person that you're talking about is Sam Black.
Oh, if I knew Sam Black and I... maybe, but it's not. But okay, so it's just like, yeah, so you have like Sam Black, like you have like this Blood Artist card, then you have like that guy that you can sack a creature to scry.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that, and then, like, obviously Bloodghast and...
Viscerous here, yeah.
And then, like, so you obviously have cards like that, but then, like, and he says, like, this is a great deck, and every time he drafts it, he ranches people and whatever. And I'm sure that that's actually true. I don't have a problem believing that this deck, when put together, works, because, like I said, it was a constructed deck at one point, but that's fine. The problem that I have with cards like that is when you look at them in a vacuum, these are all, like, 15th picks, and that's only because there's only 15 cards in the pack. If there was more cards in the pack, they would be the last pick every single time. And it's because without the whole deck, these cards are not only not powerful, they're actually, like, not even good. They're terrible. So it's really difficult, unless you open the right cards to move into that, it's really difficult to, like... support something like that and expect people to draft it, because these decks take a lot of cards, right? Like, my cube right now is at 600 cards, and every card I put in, I have to take a card out. I'm challenging myself to not go over...
Go to 720, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was at 720 before, and it was fine, but mainly, I didn't like carrying around 720 cards in my cube box, because there was literally no space for it, and no, I wouldn't let anyone put cards back into my box. Like, I was the one that had to do it, and it was, like, a big deal every single time. So, and that was annoying. And then also, like, you just draft so little. Like, even at 600 cards, a six-man draft is less than half of the draft.
Mm.
Not by much, but it's still less than half of all your cards. So, for example, these two Izzet cards that we have to put in, that means that I'm not trading out Izzet cards for them. I have to go find other cards now to put in for those two cards. Yes. So when I'm like trying to find a space for mulch, I have to look at like, not only is the Tassigar good, but like, what about when you don't have Tassigar? When else do you want this card? Because if sure. I can't think of at least one other time, then it's just like, well, yeah.
I mean, it's fine in the Reanimator deck. If there's a Reanimator deck that you could play that's base that's got some green in it, like it's fine there, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a reasonable card, I think.
Yeah.
But I guess it depends on, like I said, the volume of the other stuff. Like, if you're looking to find space and consider these other enablers, then you have to look at the cross synergies, right? Yeah. So, I mean, if you're playing a bunch of flashback spells, then there's a Reanimator archetype.
For sure.
And, you know, then it's probably a good card to have in there because it's going to enable, you know, three different decks are going to fight over the card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, you kind of have to, you know, like everything, it's just change is good, man. You know, sometimes you just got to be like, you know what? I'm sick of having this blue-white, this Bant Auras Hexproof in my fucking cube. So I'm going to cut half the cards, I'm going to put these in instead.
Oh, yeah, I cut those all out.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that it feels really bad. Like, cutting a fucking Armadillo Cloak is like, oh, what are you doing? But, I mean, you have to do it. Like, here's a list of cards I've recently cut. Darkskill Mutation, which is from Commander. Yep. You basically make something an 0-1 indestructible. Vapor Snag, Kessig Wolfrun, Mimic Vat, Wolfier Avenger, Preordain. What else did I cut here? Oh, here's an Izzet Charm. I can go right back in, maybe. Urabrask, Mayor of Averbrook, Fettergeist, Serendib Freak.
There's probably only like one or two cards on that list that I would actually go, why did you cut that card?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the rest of them are all like, why were they in there in the first place?
That's the thing. But then you look at cards like the Efreet, like Fettergeist and Serendib Efreet, and you put them in a deck like with Geist as your like, you know, maybe a couple of finishers, and you just play it with removal and counterspells, and it's worked really well.
Sure.
You know, like Chronozoa used to be in the cube. Worked really well. but he got taken out because, again, his change is good, and also nobody really liked him, right?
Yeah.
So it's just things like that. Like, it's just difficult, especially because these cards aren't powerful. Like, when I'm cutting these cards that are kind of okay for things like Merciless Executioner and Tassigar and, like, Humble Defector.
It's no big deal.
It's no big deal because these cards are, A, fun and cool, and also, like, by themselves just work fine. But then he's like, if I'm cutting these cards for, like, a mulch, I, like, really have to talk myself into that.
Sure.
So.
Makes sense.
Interesting. Good talk.
Woo!
So Tassigar, anyway, being standard is really good.
Yes. Yeah, I think he's like really absurd.
You think he can go on any black deck, or do you think he has to be built around? Like,
I think it's real. You could easily play him in Abzan.
That's what I was thinking.
Absolutely, you could.
How is that ever bad?
Well, I mean, if Abzan's deck at premise is a mittful of good fucking cards, how is it ever bad, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. And the other thing that I was thinking about is in Abzan, it's like Jund, where you just constantly want to trade cards with them.
Correct. Yep.
But because your cards eventually get better, right? Then, when you're rebuying your good cards, perfect. Then, me and Jeremy, not good Jeremy on the cast, because I would never listen
good
to
good Jeremy on the cast. There's the quote.
He heard it here first. Jeremy Beach, who is becoming fast my greatest magic ally, we were testing this weekend. I'm back, by the way. I spent all day at a fucking magic store with no magic tournament going on, no reason for me to be there to win anything, testing a deck
with
another
God.
Person, even to go so far as to borrow a deck from some random Jobin and take a paper and write down the names of real magic cards and put them in the sleeve.
Holy God.
Like, real testing things.
Holy God.
And we were testing Soul of Theros in Abzan.
It's insane. Listen.
To see how good it is.
Theros is insane!
We thought it was pretty good. We found it was kind of lackluster every time we drew it, but then we were kind of tweaking it. But Okay. But think of this. Tasiger,
you don't ever want to put it. You don't ever want to draw it. You just want to flip it over.
That's the thing, right? And that was the problem. Every time we drew it, we were just kind of like, "Is this even good?"
Yeah.
But with Tasiger, you could fucking get rid of all that shit. Have like a seed rhino and a soul in your hand or in your graveyard, and be like, "Yeah, well, like, or and a murderous cut, and have like, just be like, well, which one of these do you want me to have? You're losing. Just scoop."
Yeah.
That's what it seems like Tasiger could be doing.
Yeah.
But again. Is that perfect situation? Is that weird? Like,
so the
when
way
it's
that,
perfect, it's perfect. But
the way that you
good,
need to make
good?
Him better. So you got to look at it this way. He's still most of the time going to be a 4/5 for 3 mana. So
right.
Even if that's all you get out of him, who the fuck cares?
Jeez.
Okay.
I think fights rhino.
Yeah. So that, and
ooh,
that's a thing.
Yeah,
it stands toe to toe with a rhino. Like that's super relevant, right? Doesn't die to stoke the flames.
Super relevant. Look
okay.
at that. Is Stoke the Flames the Convoke?
Yeah. Yeah, the 4 damage Stoke, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, so those things are good, right? Now, if you build your Abzan deck as sort of this aggro mid-range hybrid, you know, that maybe focuses a little bit more on sort of enabling for Delve than otherwise, and instead of playing cards like Sylvan Carrier did, you play 4 copies of Satyr Wayfinder.
Oh, Wayfinder.
We've cut the Carrier did anyway.
Good, yeah.
To do.
Right, but like, so that's an option, or and then maybe some of your removal spells you just want to like cut down to murderous cuts, maybe.
Really,
I don't know. Maybe you want to like 275, maybe. But like, my point is that if you've got the means to kind of like bastardize it, hybridize it a little, you're probably going to do pretty well. I really like the idea right now of. There's two schools of Abzan deck that I'm really happy with right now, I think. And one of them is like a hardcore like Abzan control deck, more so than anything else. Playing like main deck End Hostilities and main deck Dune Blast and like that
yeah,
sort
I
of
saw
stuff.
That. Yeah.
Like not unlike what Daniel Fournier played at the Sunday Super Series finals this past weekend. Mm-hmm. So shout out to him. He got the list from Lucas Siao, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and it looks super gross. The other one is if you were to play sort of an Abzan aggro list, which is more mid-range and sort of dedicated to playing, plays Fleece Mane Lion, plays Rhinos, plays Coursers, passes on Caryatids, and plays a couple copies of Brimaz. So, like,
yeah, Brimaz is the card that we're kind of on the fence about right now.
Brimaz I really like in the archetype, but I hate his casting cost on the mana.
Yeah.
The double white early too. Is fucking really uncomfortable, and he probably doesn't make the cut as a result, but you'll find that if you try to play Tasiger in the slot, it's probably much better.
I guess because you're always playing, you're trying to play him as a 3.
Yeah. And I mean, you're going to, and now if you're playing Thoughtseize in your main deck, then that's probably great.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, see, we cut Thoughtseize.
And I think if you want to play Tasiger in the mid range to aggressive decks, you need to change that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably true. The reason I don't like Thoughtseize is because I find that if you don't have it in your opener, then it's bad. I don't like my deck doesn't want to play it late. Like there are decks that do,
yep.
But I find that like Abzan aggro and Abzan mid range aren't the deck that want that. So it's like,
what is your deck like between both of them?
Well, okay, so we were playing before we were playing an aggro. Let me just grab it right beside me. We were playing an aggressive version, but it was tuned basically because you have to remember that I generally tune for local meta, which I know is not you know the greatest. I think mostly I'm advocating that you should be tuning to your local meta. You should take some.
Just like think of like your store listening to the cast. Like, what the fuck is this guy talking about?
Yeah. So, like, right now I have Anafenza's, Heir of the Wilds, Rakasha Death Dealer, Siege Rhinos, Thoughtseize,
yeah.
Abzan Charm.
Sounds like the deck I won the pre-TQ with.
Yeah, like one Murderous Cut, Fleece Mane Lions. We have 2 Wingmate Rocks. I think we're playing 4 Bioblights,
yeah.
4 Downfalls. I think that's the deck. Let me just quickly go through it to make sure I didn't miss any one-ofs or anything. I think
yeah.
The only one-of we have is the Murderous Cut because, again, we just couldn't support multiple delve cards. Now, that being said, this deck, the problems that I have with it, Thoughtseize, I know it's a good card. I fucking hate Thoughtseize. I don't ever get to draw it in my opener. I never get that. And whenever I do have it, I fucking Thoughtseize them, and I just see five of the same card that kills me on turn three, and I'm like, great, I paid two life for that information. Also, I don't like Wingmate Rock in this deck. I think Wingmate Rock is, and it's so hard to say this, a terrible fucking magic card. It is, it's good, but it, like, it never does anything. I always just draw it and have no creatures because I'm trading my creatures aggressively as Doomblade, or they're killing them because this format has lots of ways to kill things. And then my Wingmate Rock either never has raid, or I attack with it and I gain one life, and then they kill it. Or I die to stupid Rhino. So we change those for souls. I'm super happy with the amount of removal that we're playing. I'm super happy with... Anafenza. Anafenza is a weird card that we've been looking at.
Anafenza is a card that should be in and out of your list depending on how well or badly Abzan and Saltair Whip are represented in your deck.
Exactly. Because the problem with Anafenza is that I found that she's... Actually, I think in all the matches I've ever played with her in the deck, she's attacked two times.
Yeah.
In total. And I've played, like, probably 30 matches. Yeah. And I always have her.
Because you, like, play her and they untap and place each other.
No, or they you know, like, what happens in my games is I play her, they kill her, end of turn. They untap, play something that generally I don't give a fuck about. I untap, draw, it's Anafenza, I play it, and I have another Anafenza in my hand. And they just kill it every time. And I'm fine that they're killing my Anafenza, because it means they're not killing my Rhinos.
Sure.
But literally every game I see an Anafenza, I see her in multiples. And she never gets to fucking attack. And she's one of those creatures that it's like in Cube. It's like, oh wow, look at all these great lines of text, except for there's an infinite removal in the format, so nope. So she's interesting because, like I said, if there's Whip decks or this Tasigur deck now, she becomes way better. But at the same time, those decks are also playing black. They can also just murderous cut her every time. So
sure.
It's like, eh, is it? Then the other thing is, so this new deck that we were brewing on Saturday, this is the list that we settled on, and I'm not sure if it's even, like, this is just what we ended on, but that doesn't mean that this is the deck, this is the best deck, this is just where we got to, okay? So it's three Wardens of the First Tree, that's the new,
bad figure of Destiny.
The new figure of Destiny, yeah. Now, you said bad figure of Destiny.
He's way worse than Figure of Destiny, and you won't convince me of
that. Yeah, correct.
Oh, yeah, I guess...
Please don't. Just move along. Move along.
I guess he is. So, anyway, so it's three Warden of the First Tree, three Fleece Mane Lions. It was... Or, sorry, four Fleece Mane Lions. It was going to be four Rakasha Death Dealers, but we changed those to Hair of the Wilds, which we were going to take out Hair of the Wild, but then we realized that if we play Warden of the First Tree, we don't want Rakasha Death Dealers because we can't support both of them.
Correct.
Yeah. Then this list says two Rakasha Death Dealers, which I don't agree with at all. I just took them out of my version, but I didn't write it down, and Jeremy wrote it down. So then there's that. There's three Anafenzas and four Siege Rhinos for your 20 creatures. Then your spells, you have 15 spells. So we have two Bioblade. We have four Valorous Stance, which is the new white Doomblade. Destroy target creature toughness 4 or greater, or make your guy indestructible. That card's fucking insane. We played like three matches. And lots of games where we talked kind of through a bunch of stuff after we were doing kind of a bunch of brewing. That card, every single time somebody played it, that card won them a game in the match.
Sorry, talking about Valorous Stance?
Yeah, Valorous Stance.
Yeah, yeah, that's the truth, by the way.
It's fucking blows.
It is like probably the best card to come out of the set, not close.
Yep. And then three Abzan Charm, four Heroes Downfall, one Murderous Cut, and one Whip. Now, Whip, I don't know. I'm sure someone else has thought of this, but I have yet to see it. So we were thinking, oh, how great is that? I don't know why we never thought of this. Whip your Siege Rhinos. That sounds fucking awesome. I don't know how we never thought of this or ever talked about this before on the show. But so we're trying that. Although the person that I borrowed a deck from on Saturday had three in their main deck. And I was like, what the fuck? Oh,
there is an Abzan Whip deck.
Okay. Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you have your lands. That's the same. The only real difference is we're trying out two Tomb of Yawgmoth, which I think we talked about last time on the show. Right? Instead of playing one, you play two?
Two, yeah. Urborg, Tomb of Yawgmoth.
Urborgs, yeah. And then the sideboard is two Erase, one Back to Nature, two Bioblite, three Glare of Heresy, one Abzan Charm, three Drown in Sorrow, one Murderous Cut, and two Soul of Theros. Because we found that Soul of Theros in this main deck wasn't very good. So you'll notice, again, there's no fucking Thoughtseize in this deck, and I know that you guys think that's wrong. I just, for some reason, I can't play that card. Like, I just, even when Mono Black was a thing and I was playing that, I was just like, this is not, I don't, it's great when they mull to five or six and you just get them. But if you don't do that on turn one, like, isn't it the worst fucking card that you want to draw?
It really depends on the metagame. I mean, blue, it's bad in the mirror, because it's just the same amount of threats. It's good against blue black, obviously. It's good even against against Hornet Queen decks. I like that.
It is? Why? Don't you just put it in the graveyard and then they fucking reanimate
and
you kill die?
You just take their whip and then they're fuckered.
Yeah.
Okay. But wouldn't you rather have like a race and shit for that?
No.
No, absolutely not,
because in a pinch, Thoughtseize can still kill a Siege Runner before it hits the table.
I guess so.
Your race basically sits in your hand rotting like a pile of... Anyways.
But you're definitely not the only one who's done that. Like, BBD moved, like, some of his Thoughtseizes to the sideboard to put more Planeswalkers. So it is good and bad depending on the matchup. It was really good, actually, in the Mono Black Devotion deck, because at worst, you could discard it to Pack Rat. That's what made it so good.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and we've talked about before how I have no idea how to play Pack Rat, so that would probably be why.
But you're not the only one who thinks that, Jim.
Yeah, like, I don't like it. Same with all the Planeswalkers. I just don't like... I don't like having the Planeswalkers. They just either... I found that, like... Okay, so for Sorin, I found I was generally only playing him for the lifelink, and to get the lifelink to be actually important, generally I had to not attack with something. And I found, like, the whip was just better. It gave me lifelink all the time, whether I was attacking or blocking, and it lets me bring back, a Rhino, which is a 7-point swing. A 10-point swing, actually. And that's huge, I think. So that was an easy switch for us. We don't like Sorin. We talked last week. Or I did anyway. Last week I fucking think Sorin is garbage, man. And then Elspeth. What were we talking about? Doesn't it just die to something? Some
rock.
Just dies to Wingate Rock. So it's just like 6 mana. I don't ever want to be playing anything for 6 mana, and let alone 5 mana on a Wingate Rock. And then I found like it just didn't. Playing Elspeth was never as good as just playing Siege Rhino or Vileblade. And, like, that's saying something. So we just took them out. And I think I would rather play Soul of Theros than if I had to pick, like a 6-mana card, I'd rather play Soul of Theros than Elspeth.
Elspeth?
Yeah. Like, I would way rather do that. Now, the other thing is, this is not, because again, the list that Jeremy sent me is Jeremy's sideboard.
Yeah.
Jeremy's deck list. And mine's a little different, just basically because we want to play the same 75 because we play in the same meta, and we're trying to get more.
No, that's not mine.
No, sorry. The other, my Jeremy.
Oh,
Jeremy.
Yeah, sorry.
We're trying to.
I'm confused.
We're trying to get more data because we find that, like, if he was playing Teemer before, and we would play some of the same people and not some of the same people, and what was happening is that, like, we were both talking about, like, how to play against different decks, and it was difficult because he didn't care about Abzan at the time because he's playing Teemer, and I didn't, and vice versa, right? So he didn't like Teemer anymore. He made the switch to Abzan, and then we're trying to, kind of as a team, like, do testing, right? So we're trying to play the same 75 so that we can get, like, instead of 4 matches per FNM, we're getting 8 matches per FNM of data, right?
Makes sense.
And, like, yeah, sometimes you're going to play the same guy, but I think it's just more coverage. So in my Abzan deck, I also have 3, if not 4, Reaper of the Wild, because that card is great against Rhino, and it's great against all this free fucking removal everybody's playing.
See, it's funny you should say that, because Jerry's Reanimator list has gone to playing 2 copies of Reaper of the Wild for that very reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Scry is super relevant, too. Oh, probably.
Yeah, and then, yeah, like Scrying is so good in that deck. I find, like, the only time I ever lose with Abzan is when I draw 15 lands in a row.
Yeah.
And if I can Scry 3 times, maybe I'll hit, you know, that one Rhino that saves me or something.
Yeah. So it's interesting. A lot of the card choices that you've talked about here are reflected in the third place list from the DC results at Star City by Hunter Nance. And so he's playing an Abzan aggro deck, but he's gone and shaved on cards like Wingmate Rock. He's playing copies of Corsair Crupix in his main deck, which is strange, but he's also playing 2 copies of Tazigar in the main deck. So he's kind of like gone to shaving, gone to removal, shaving Thought Seizes, and just like playing all of these fat, good value cards.
Yeah.
Still stuck on Sorin, but you know, this is sort of like a really good indication. If you look at the sideboard, just so many Planeswalkers.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of turn into that deck, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it's interesting that you should say that, and we were talking about where Tazgar fits. I mean, even here, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it would be sweet if I could play, like, a sweet Mardu deck. Because I really want to play, like, Cackling Doom.
Crackling, sure, yeah.
Because I think that card is fucking bonkers. But, I don't know, I still feel like Abzan is the best fit for me and I'm having the most fun with. Like, it just... You're playing the best card. Like, you're just... Everything in your deck is a great card.
Yep.
That's what I like about it. Now, there is a deck, too, that I saw from that same Star City Games thing where, like, they're playing, like, Soldier of the Pantheon, which I totally forgot is a white card. Like, is a real card.
Yeah, it's a real card.
Andrew Boswell's list?
Yeah, and that card actually does really good against turn two Siege... turn to
Lion or Death
Lion
Dealer.
Yep. Or Death Dealer. It blocks and or attacks through a Rhino all day when you have to do that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And notice the four copies of Valorous Stance in the main deck of Andrew Boswell. Yep. Sixth place in the Open. That's so gross. Yeah, it's a card that has been doing a lot of work, I think, for a lot of people that are playing it. Initially, I think it was a lot of the Jeskai people that were picking it up just because it's a really neat and tidy answer to Siege Rhino. But seeing Boswell playing for them in the main deck was really something exciting to watch. You know, you're looking at his deck and it's a lot of cheap spells. Four Soldier of the Pantheon, four Warden of the First Tree, four copies of Fleecemane and Rakshasa Death Dealer. Like, you got your ones and twos on lock. And then you're in an Anafenza at the three slot, or a one drop and a Stance, or a one drop and a Bioblight. Like, it's pretty busted the way you consider the curve. There's a lot of gas in this deck.
And that's kind of what we were thinking about with the Warden of the First Tree. Like, I just found him, like, he looked really great in paper, but I just found him really underwhelming when I played him.
Yeah.
I almost never got to do
anything. Because he fucking sucks, that's why.
I guess. Why is anybody telling me this? Why is no one telling me that? Where did you guys get this information?
It's not as good as Figure of Destiny. Yeah.
Nobody fucking told me that. And Figure of Destiny is not in standard. There's lots of cards that aren't as good as old cards.
Yeah.
They don't just like, what does this guy do?
Yeah.
What? You play him on turn one and then you fucking ranch them.
What does this guy
do? So you play
him
on turn one, and then you don't play a card, and you turn him into a 3.
Yeah,
so on turn two, you could cast the 3/3.
Yeah, it's
or you could turn your 1/1 into a 3/3.
Yeah, that's what I
mean. So if you want to have cards in hand is a good resource.
Yeah, it's
But you usually prefer to play them.
Yeah, you know what's great about this conversation is that we had it after I ordered four from.
But then on turn four, you can pay even more mana and make him less good than a Siege Rhino.
It's true. It's totally true.
Yeah.
But and that is your right to play with Warden of the
favorite.
First Tree.
That's my favorite part. That's why I like you guys.
And if you put all the eggs in the basket on turn six, you can watch him die in response to the activation of the trigger.
You're always looking out for your best bud. I really like
you need,
that.
You need... So, Jay, I have to tell you, I'm really, really pleased to hear that you're back... You know, and
how do you fucking repay
the testing. No, stop!
It's costing me like $40.
You know what? This is a really wonderful and valuable lesson that I hope that you can take part. And you'll know that next come back, talk to us. Let us know.
If you want, we'll record like a little commercial for Warden of the First Tree. Like, just do like a quick little 5-second bit that you can put on your phone and then you can play it for people when you try and trade it away. It's like, man, this card is so good. You should hear what the guys from the A-Team have to say about it.
Warden of the First Tree is a very powerful and flexible creature.
Look, it's a human. It's the best like creature type possible. It's got lots of text, so it must be good.
I mean, it becomes a warrior. You know how good warriors are.
Absolutely.
I mean, have you seen Raider Spoils? That card's insane.
Absolutely. And not just in draft.
Oh, you guys are fucking ass.
Well, this Boswell guy, like, top eight with four of them, and I don't, like, I would never play Soldiers just because, like, it's, well, in the previous format before Fate Reforged, you're playing against a lot of tokens. Even Mardu's still a deck, even if Jeskai tokens may have dumbed down in popularity, and it matches up so poorly against Wayfinder, can attack through Courser, or Caryatid. I don't like Soldier at all, either.
No.
So, unless you're facing mono mirrors, we're, you know, then it's fine.
Yeah. So.
If that's your local metagame, Jay, you know, that's...
Oh, no,
that's
it's not. Like, in the local metagame, there's, like, there's lots of Mardu, there's lots of Abzan, there's, like, the Sidisi deck, and then there's, what else is there? There's, like, lots of blue-white heroic. And then there's lots of brews, right? Like, there's the black-white warriors deck that just fucking kills you on turn three when
there's a Mardu version of that, which is totally viable in the new standard, and it's scary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it can kill real fast. Like, as soon as you start stacking multiple lords, that's insane.
Oh, well, that's the thing. And, like, when you go turn one, 2/1 guy that can't block into turn two lord and hit you for three.
Yep.
Into turn three lord and that guy hit you for five. Like, it just...
Yep.
So stupid.
Agree.
Or not even hit you for five. Hit you for six, I guess.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sitting here playing Abzan, like, duh. I guess I block and trade with your... raid guy that comes back to life.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
So I was thinking about it, and I'm looking at, I'm scrolling through the lists from the SUG event, and I have to say that, we've gone over the Abzan aggro list, but if you take a look at Steve Rubin's list, now Rubin, in my opinion, he created Arylaxis deck for the Pro Tour. Okay? He also had what I believe to be sort of the best version of Abzan going into sort of the Christmas break, okay? And it was playing Brimazes and all sorts of stuff, but it was like the perfectly poised deck. So Steve Rubin, in 15th place at this event, has gone the other way. And he's gone the control route. There's no mana guys in this deck. You got 4 Seedrano, 4 Courser, 1 Tassiger. You've got 3 Elspeth, 2 Sorin, 1 Ugin. And like main deck, you're talking about removal of the Wazoo. You've got 2 Read the Bones, 4 Abzan Charm, 4 Thoughtseize. You got 2 Bile Blight, 3 Heroes Downfall, 1 Murderous Cut, 1 Utter End, and 2 copies of End Hostilities. The sideboard is a work of art. This is, if you are looking at a control-based version of Abzan, this is like the place to be. This looks like it's insane. I'm very excited about this deck.
Hmm.
But
you sound it.
I mean, if that's where you want to be, if I mean, this it's really, really cool. I don't know. It just seems like it's going to have the most sort of staying power out of all the other Abzan decks. Just looks really good. And Steve Rubin, I mean, you got to trust his pedigree. He's built so many different Pro Tour winning decks. It's just crazy.
No, I actually
I didn't know he was so fucking young.
I'd never heard of this person, actually.
You've never heard of Steve Rubin?
No.
He's 22.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah. He worked with Kibler, I think, for a lot of his decks too. Mm. A lot of the Zoo decks, like he was known as a Zoo guy. But yeah, so that's pretty exciting. But there's a lot of like crazy decks that look like they did really well. So make sure there's even a Teemer Ascendancy combo deck that came out of this weekend. I did not stutter. Teemer Ascendancy combo deck. Where basically,
why not?
What it does is it uses, like, it's a green mono-green devotion strategy, and it just plays a bunch of guys that make mana and Eidolon of Blossoms to draw cards, and it revolves around Teemer Sabertooth, which is a card that states that it's a 4/3 for 4 mana, and for 1 green and 1, you may return another target creature, another creature you control to its owner's hand, and if you do, it gains indestructible until end of turn. So the idea is that you get to 7 devotion and a Nykthos with a Voyaging Satyr, and you tap the Voyaging Satyr after tapping the Nykthos for 7 mana. You use 2 of it to return the Satyr to your hand. You play the Satyr for 2. You tap the Nykthos. You untap the you tap and untap the Nykthos. See where I'm going with this. So you net a mana, which you get infinite mana at 7 devotion. Teemer Ascendancy gives all you guys haste, so you can just keep doing it. And of course, with all the infinite mana, you cast a Genesis Hydra. That's absurdly infinitely large. You find the single copy of Nylea that's in your deck, and you kill your opponent.
Yeah.
It's hilarious to watch it go off. There were a couple of people that were playing it, and it looked wicked-ass fun. I think it's going to suffer from the same sort of problem that KYT had when he played the blue-green devotion deck, but, I mean, still looks... I mean, this at least has, like, a dedicated combo kill you once it reaches a certain point, but it looks pretty funny. Pretty fun. Pretty scary. So we saw it on camera for a bit too, which is really exciting. But I think the story of the tournament was Red White Aggro was one of the decks that kind of came out, and just it was the most heavily played deck on day two of this event. Danny Goldstein played a version that came in second, and I don't think I like it as much as some of the others that I've seen. But a lot of the pros have been talking about this white-red deck being sort of the way to go and where they want to be. Owen wrote about it today, as a matter of fact. Yeah, even Ross Merriam played it, which says something. So, yeah, exciting stuff. Standard is getting sweet. But,
and, you know, I haven't put any thought into it. Like, I haven't been thinking standard.
And that's what's hilarious. Like, Ali Antrazi played Sultai, you know? And so when you come back to the format, Jer, I'll tell you, the thing you gotta think about is, are you going under Ugin? Are you going over Ugin? Or are you unaffected by Ugin? Because this format very quickly is devolving into an Ugin-centric format.
That's words.
It's true. Hopefully they are words that are shared by others. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. It'll be very interesting to see how Standard develops over the next few months. But of even more import, of course, and something that I'm sure you've been putting a lot of your thought and energy into, KOIT as well, is Modern.
Yes. I like Modern.
Oh, I had actually a question for you, Jeremy. Maybe you can talk about this. About Modern.
Okay.
What do you think about Vengevine decks?
I love Vengevine decks.
Sweet. I will send you... Look at this. I'm talking about Modern. I mean, I've been talking the whole show, and I'm sure people are sick of hearing me talk.
No.
No, but
please.
You guys, I don't know anything about Modern, so you guys can talk about this deck from A-Team superfan Brett Pachocla.
That's like in freaking Jer's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing about this type of deck.
Yeah, me neither.
Give me a second to actually look at it here.
Are the mandrels overkill?
Well, no, see, that's what I said. I was like, mandrels? He's like, they cost one in this deck. I was like, pfft. Anyway, the deck starts out two Dark Blast. Okay, I don't know what any of these fucking cards are, FYI.
Okay, so Dark Blast is a one mana, -1/-1 instant that has dredge 3.
Okay, then you have 4 Faithless Looting.
That's the draw 2, discard 2, and it has... What's that thing? Flashback for 3.
Then he's got the Flamewake, the new Flamewake Phoenix from Fate Reforged, which is like when you're attacking something, you can pay mana, bring it back or something. Has haste, some shit. Combat?
No, it's got Ferocious.
Has haste, some shit.
Yeah, it's Ferocious. It's got, like, so if you have power 4 or greater, you can pay red to return it.
From your graveyard?
Yes.
And it has a haste, does it not?
Yes, it's flying in haste, and it attacks each turn.
So you play, like, a fucking Vengevine, and then it comes out, and then now your Vengevine's basically 6 instead of 4, right? Then it's got Golgari, Grave Troll, super unbanned. Then it's got Grave Crawler. Grizzly Salvage, which is like Mulch.
Right.
Grizzly Salvage is very, very, very good. And I'm surprised, like, it's so crazy to me, but it seems like the card selection you get off of it is so good. Like, why isn't it seeing more play in Modern? Like in like the black green X decks, it just seems so crazy to me. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Oh, that's fine. This is what it's for. I want you guys to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's 3 Hooting Mandrills. Do you guys remember that from the? It's like a common from cons. Yeah. It's like 5 mana, 4/4 trample with delve.
I think it's 6 or 7 mana, isn't it?
Six mana.
6 mana.
No. Yeah, 4/4 trample.
Hooting Mandrills is
4/4 trample.
Yeah, 4/4 trample delve for 6 mana. One of them is green.
Yeah, okay. All right, you're right. You got me. 4 Lawless Troll, which is great in this kind of deck. 4 Seder Wayfinder. 2 Shambling Remains.
Shambling Remains, that is...
Is that like a 4/3 from like Shards of Alara or something that has like Unearth?
Remains is from from Alara. It's from Conflux, actually. And it's got Unearth for a red and a black. And it's black-red 1 to cast. And it's a 4/3 you can't block.
Yeah, 4/3 camp block for 3, and then Unearth.
It is
for 2.
A zombie.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, of course, 4 Vengevine. And then 22 lands.
I don't like the Flamewake Phoenix in this, because you don't cast it for 1 red. You put it into play.
Well, this is a deck that's built around Flamewake Phoenix. That's the important thing to recognize. Shambling Remains, between the Hooting Mandrels. That's the card it's really trying to abuse. The tough part is that you have a very difficult time getting Vengevines out in this deck because it's so hard to cast multiple spells on a turn.
Agree.
Like your Lot Litoral Gravecrawler, so on turn three you can kind of do something. So Wayfinder, you're hoping to hit a Vengevine or two, maybe one of these Phoenixes. Then you're hoping to go, ideally you're casting a Lot Litoral, discarding a Gravecrawler, casting the Gravecrawler to bring the other thing back. Like, you know, you're doing these things, but it just... I don't know if it's enough.
Chair's trying to say is there's a leaner way to do it.
There is. Like, I think it's too big. I think it's in those colors, you need to be going with smaller creatures. And
can I take a guess,
with smaller creatures, then you can't be going with the red, like the Flamewick Phoenix.
I got owned last night playing against something like this where the person had like probably a full set of Bloodghasts.
Yeah,
well, see, Bloodghast has actually been a card that I really did not like in Dredge because it just didn't do enough. Like, Gravecrawler and Bloodghast, the big difference is that you cast Gravecrawler, which means you get Vengevine. Bloodghast coming out of your graveyard doesn't matter to anything aside from the fact that you get a 2-1. So what you have to do is you have to say, I'm bringing this guy out for a different reason. And that's what I like in the new set with the Dark Deal, is that the mana I'm going to spend on the sorceries, and they're going to make me have a ridiculous graveyard, and then the next turn I'm going to do something absolutely ridiculous.
Because Vengevine is... You have to cast two creatures in a single turn?
Yes.
Right? Not put them into play, you have to cast them?
Cast them.
See, it's interesting because, like, and again, this is my ignorance talking, but was deck like this, did they not operate through, like, playing things like Mana Dorks and Birds of Paradise so that you could, like, power it out early, plus power it out for free, plus it gets, like, exalted and shit?
Like, that used to be a thing because of just Standard. Like, in Standard, you used to do that kind of stuff. Sometimes you play Birds, and I've been thinking, like, maybe Birds is a way to go in a little bit more of a mid-range strategy. But where it stands right now, like, I don't know if it's correct. Hmm. Or if it feels correct. Like, I guess if you're going for a bigger deck, I want to do bigger things. Like, I want to get some blue in there, and I want to take advantage of, like, the big blue cards. I want to play a Scab Ruinator. I want to play the new Exile Dork. I want to make a longer game, use things like Hedron Crabs and maybe Snapcaster Magus to, like, try and do some abusive things. I want to get away from the green as much as possible and just have some Vengevines in there for value. I'd love to do something like the Kedric Leviathan thing, like where you're just like bouncing things back, like maybe bringing it back like to its roots, to its Standard days, and like play Crypt of Agadeem or something stupid.
Oh God.
You know, like go deep.
I mean, would you play Night Howler in a deck like that?
Not at its casting cost.
Interesting.
What about Soul Flare?
Soul Flare.
It's the delve guy that he gets abilities when you delve.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what deck. Like, you have to have some, like, pretty specific cards in your graveyard in order to really make it, like, anything of him. Uh-huh. And I don't know if I'd play those cards. Huh. So.
All right. Well, there you go, Jay.
Like, I like what he's doing. I think it's very neat. I think I would have a fun time putting him into, like, a weekly tournament and doing some ridiculous things, because it's one of those decks that if you do get one of those four power guys out, you can probably do a lot of work. But it takes away from the resiliency that can come out of these decks. Like, the decks go wide, and the creatures come back, and they don't have to be in your hand, and that's the advantage. Whereas with this guy here, you have to have a lot of mana. You're doing your important turns are like turn 5 and 6 and 7 and stuff like that. And
so why don't decks like this play like Goyf?
Because they could. I would rather play Goyf than that.
Yeah, like if you're filling your deck with stuff in your graveyard, like why wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean? Why wouldn't you want? Because it makes it doesn't it just like automatically get the benefit of making your Goyf bigger?
Yeah. Yes.
So you should be playing Goyfs, is what you're saying?
I would like to play Goyf tonight, yeah.
Interesting.
KYT, have you been doing a bunch of testing? Like, what does your week look like?
Well, after our episode last week where Jeremy just talked about become a man to just like start messing with my mind, I just like started.
Are you a little fixated?
Thinking about it. I was a little fixed. I'm like, did nobody think about this? Then I did see like an SCG premium video series by Ari Lax playing a deck designed by Chris Fennell, which is green black, in fact, using Becoming Mance. But so the secret's out. It's just he Ari Lax called like the card the real deal already. And I hadn't been paying attention to Tom Ross like doing well Like, I knew he was doing well in Legacy. I just never paid attention to the exact configuration because I didn't care about the format. But for him in Legacy, Becoming Mance was overperforming.
Yeah.
So I was just like, the black-green deck that Ari Lax displayed was interesting. Not sure. It played, funny enough, it played four copies of Grizzly Salvage, the card that you talked about. I'm not sure if it's the right fit in the type of effect that just wants to go all out. But he uses it, obviously, as a way to be able to fuel has become immense easily. Like you just play Grizzly Salvage and boom, you already have your one mana to be able to cast become immense.
Yeah.
But I started off my testing trying to find like the latest list that Tom Ross had ever published in public because, well, obviously he's the god of infect in all formats.
Truth.
Might as well trust him over anybody else, including myself. So I started playing with it, and it just felt really strong, and I like Become Immense. Tom is going to the Pro Tour, and he was kind enough to like chat with me for 5 minutes. Right, I just asked him if he was going to the PT, and he still answered my questions about it. He said he loves playing three, even in his blue-green deck. Asked him if he could see himself going up to four probes to make better use of the delve mechanic, and he could totally see that. But he himself thinks the format might be going towards a place where we're playing more Ichor-Claw Mirror over Corruptor. Corruptor being good against Pod. He played four in his main deck,
yeah.
Pod and Affinity. And if you're expecting people to block, then you'd rather have Ichor-Claw Mirror. Yeah. But a lot of people, including himself, has called that card bad. And even Ari in his PT, he finished ninth in the the Modern Pro Tour previous to that with Bug Infect. And he's talked about how Ichor-Claw Mirror has been underwhelming before. And I much prefer Plague Stinger, rather. But that particular list, the issue is you are stretching it, counting the mana base, like counting the amount of colored mana of each color. You are really stretching it. But Plague Stinger is a really good card. I mean, Blighted Angel is the best infect creature, and Plague Stinger is the best substitute that you can have. So I'm leaning towards that variant currently because of that. I don't really want to play Corruptor.
You don't like Crusader either, huh?
Crusader is interesting, actually, because of...
Given the fact that it has protection from red and white, I think it's actually very good. And if your mana base can support it, I mean, we've been talking about it. Now, I don't think that playing main deck Corruptor is where you want to be at all. I just think it's a waste of a slot if you're looking for a 2/2 or like a 2-power infector. There are better ones to be had, and I think that Ichor-Claw Mirror is probably the most generic place to start. But if you're into black already and you're looking at cards like Plague Stinger. I mean, if you can afford that double black, boy, oh boy, that Crusader is going to wreck shop. Like, that card scares the living piss out of me. No lies.
Yeah, oh, it's a house against blue-white-red decks, and it's interesting. It made me really consider whether I want black-green or not. Just like, to go just straight black-green and do the Crusader, because that's the Chris Finalis. He's playing four Crusaders, along with the four Grizzly Salvage and three Becoming Immenses, and it's an interesting list. Of course, if Junk is the most popular deck, they at least still have the answer in Abrupt Decay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true.
It's not as good against them than against Blue, White, Red.
And you can't save it with Apostle's Blessing.
I cannot save it with an Apostle. Correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. Anti-synergy.
Yep.
So far I've been liking the Bug version the most. Played against, like, people have this, what I feel is this misconception about certain matchups. They haven't played as much as me in terms of, like, me playing Boggles, they'll shortcut
how the Jund matchup works out and say, you know, for Liliana, Thor, Thoughtseize, or Inquisition, and I'm dead. And, you know, during the over the course of that modern season where I top four twice, it didn't always play it out like that. And Jund was not my worst matchup by a long shot. They're not always going to have turn three Liliana.
Yeah.
And I'm always, usually, even if they're threatening that, I usually have an untapped fetch land to get that Dryad Arbor. I sack it to Liliana. I untap, play a Spirit Mantle to get through their only blocker and kill Lily. So the only time that I feel really crushed is if they follow that up with a second Lily, which, you know, doesn't happen like that high percentage of the time anyways. So that's why I'm not surprised in the latest SCG, the first like big modern event, I guess, where I saw such names like Pat Cox finish in the top four with his version of Niazu. Boggles won the event with a pretty stock list, like no new tech. Everything's basically pretty stock with the classic white lane lines in the sideboard to fight against them. I imagine that's a good way to roll the dice against the junk if that's the major matchup. So from Boggles and Infect standpoint, I'm not that scared of junk. And I tested with Jessica today. We played 8 games and I won all 8. I was surprised. Like I as in fact, I went 8-0 against Junk piloted by Jessica.
Holy fuck!
Wow.
So when we tested against Teamer Twin, it was almost close to even. I would say roughly we jammed a lot of games, maybe 7-9 in favor of Twin over Infect. And I was trying about a bunch of different cards. I was trying how many Apostle Blessings I like, how many Rancors I would like. So a lot of experimentation there. But again, like the junk matchup doesn't have to be like it's not that hard as people think it is. So for me, the tweak like Rancor is like it's anti-synergistic when you have a Penalhaven, and it's sometimes not enough when you have it. It was really awkward when I had it on a Glistener Elf and they had like a Goyf. It's like, it's not really getting me through. So still a lot of cards to expand. How many become immense? Like a lot of people love it that I've told to try out my deck with. A lot of people are like unsure about how good it really is. I've been fine with 3, even just having fetch lands and Gigantaxian Probe as the only thing that sort of fuel it. I don't need to have like a Grizzly Salvage, and a lot of times like because they kill all your dorks, all your elves, all your Blighted Agents, all your Hierarchs, like you're gonna naturally have a lot of cards in your yard to be and become immense becomes like the one card I actually want to top deck the most to steal the game. So I've been pretty happy with the deck. I'm obviously gonna move on to trying out different archetypes in the next couple of days, but very happy and probably one of my top picks heading into tournament. And the fact is, it's just in itself a sort of combo deck that will beat people who will come in with their new brews or their random things, and they're just going to totally get ranched turn 3 or 4 by an effect creature because the infect mechanic is actually insane. So that's where I'm at. However, I've been losing my last two, going like 1-2 in my last two drafts, so that's something to be working on before I feel confident about owning the Pro Tour.
So I'm glad to see that you're on Infect potentially. Infect seems like it's really, really well positioned. I think that there are, you know, it's really going to depend on, I think, what shows up and how the removal gets tailored and what you play around and what you don't. I mean, like, if it's going to be tough if those junk decks are coming expecting a pile of storm and shift and nonsense, and they're running, like, 8 discard spells and 4 Liliana in their main deck. Like, that's going to be tough. Now, I think that junk in general is better for you than Jund ever was because they don't have Lightning Bolt, which I think is extremely important. Right? Like, I think that your matchups against a Lightning Bolt deck are a lot worse than against, like, a Abrupt Decay Path to Exile deck.
I was happy when Jess would path my guy. It would sometimes give me an insane turn the next turn where I had like three pump spells and I could play with the extra forest.
Yeah. And more often than not, I mean, like, your infect deck probably runs what, between like 22 and 23 lands?
Even less than that.
Perfect.
20.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, Path to Exile, although potentially sort of like a necessary evil because sometimes you guys just get like way too stupid big. It's one of those cards where it's the last removal spell that you use, right? Whereas in the junk deck, it's going to be one of the first ones because it only costs one mana.
Correct. And a lot of times, junk players are not really sure. Like, I can't even tell just when it was right to use the path. Like, sometimes you would use it right away, and I was just super ecstatic about that.
Sure.
And, you know, it's the fear sometimes.
Yeah.
And whereas... And another reason why I like Infect, where I like Infect more, even though I'm known for Boggles, a lot of people have been messaging me about that still, even though I've mentioned many times I'm probably not going to play it. Infect has Inkmoth Nexus, which Abrupt Decay can't interact with, Liliana can't interact with, and, you know, it's a key card that Boggles doesn't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that...
Boggles has Hexproof.
Liliana's still good there.
Yeah.
Liliana's a card, yeah.
Liliana's a super good card, actually. I think she's going to be one of the pillars of the format moving into the Pro Tour. I think that she's going to be one of those cards that you really need to be ready to beat.
Yeah.
But just because she does a really good job against so many different types of decks, right?
Right, right.
But I think Infect is a perfectly reasonable choice. I obviously feel really good about where we're at with our list, but I'm terribly biased and can 100% admit it. It's interesting to me to... I was messaging Will tonight, actually, as you were trying to get playtesting done, and he was asking me for... You know, he said, is there any way that I can get the most up-to-date Team Geist list without watching your stream or listening to your podcast?
Did you say no?
To which... Well, my first reply was, who is this? And then my next reply was going to be, do you expect a girl to put out with you, to put out for you just because you called her to say hi? Like, don't you want to buy her dinner first or something? I mean, you know, foreplay? I don't know.
I used to be that guy.
You used to be that guy?
It's like, Jerry, what's your latest list?
Yeah. Foreplay? And so then I was like, well, you could read my articles. He's like, I could do that. I'm like, all right, then. That's fine. Appreciate something. But, I'm pretty happy with where the list is going. I know that Infect is one of those decks that's going to be quite popular, especially with Tom at the Pro Tour. You know, it's one of the lists that he's testing. It is potentially just as, if not faster, than decks like Splinter Twin, and it's certainly faster than Scapeshift. There's some Zoo decks that I've seen be pretty popular, and they play, you know, a reasonable amount of removal, but I think that as far as removal actually goes, the decks that are playing the most amount of removal are actually the blue air red ones. Like, I actually think this sounds so screwed up to say, but I actually think the blue white red Geist plays the most amount of removal for an Infect deck than any of the other decks in the format.
Probably right.
Yeah. So it's interesting, right? When you kind of sit back and you think about those sorts of decks, where I'm really, really anxious to try to understand from a format perspective is what junk is going to look like, because there are two very clear schools of thought with which to build this from. The first one being traditional, you know, traditional junk midrange, which is basically copies of... So if you take a look, for example, at the DC event, there was a Modern event, and Reduke was in that Modern event in the Premier IQ, and Reduke played Abzan, and his Abzan list that he placed 19th with was pretty familiar. You know, 4 Tarmogoyf, 3 Dark Confidant, 1 Kitchen Finks, 3 Scavenging Ooze, 4 Siege Rhino, 4 Liliana,
4 Abrupt Decay, 2 Dismember, 1 Victim of Night, 3 Inquisition, 3 Thoughtseize, 2 Lingering Souls, 1 Maelstrom Pulse. 4 Liliana the Veil. So it's very familiar. This is basically Jund with white, right? Siege Rhino instead of red. Lingering Souls are a sweet card. The sideboard's pretty straightforward, basically what you would expect. Nothing exciting out of the Duke.
Yeah.
Now, alternatively, if you go to like the second place list that was put up by Kevin Van Every, his deck played 4 Siege Rhino, 4 Tarmogoyf, standard, right? Played 2 copies of Scavenging Ooze, 1 copy of Tazigar the Golden Fang in Modern, and 4 copies of Voice of Resurgence.
Say what?
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Right? You combine that with 1 Garruk Wildspeaker and 3 Liliana the Veil. And the removal suite is like 4 Abrupt Decay, 1 Path, 3 Inquisition, 3 Thoughtseize, 2 Pulse, and 3 Lingering Souls. Sideboard, again, a bunch of stuff that you would have come to expect. Little thin on Path to Exile, I think, for my liking, but the Maelstrom Pulses are there to try to take over for it. But this is an interesting hybridization of that strategy. Like, Voice of Resurgence presents an entirely unique set of circumstantial problems for some decks in particular. 2 copies of Storm in the top 8 is not to be understated. But there's also a copy of straight up fucking Jund, man, in the top 8.
Yeah, man, Jund is still a thing. There's like, still Jundstice to be had.
Straight up Jundstice. 1 copy of Olivia Voldera and 1 copy of Huntmaster of the Fells. 4 Bob, 4 Tarmogoyf. You know, a couple Lose, a couple Coursers, some Planeswalkers, some removal spells. Like, I don't know, man. This actually looks pretty good. I mean, the creatures are a little thinner than I'd like, I think, but I mean, like 4 Bolt, 4 Decay, 6 Jundstice. Removal spells, like that's Jundstice, man. So, I don't know. This is format's pretty open. I think Zoo is going to be scary. Pat Cox came in third with his 5 color version, playing Tribal Flames and Bolts, Helixes, Mutagenic Growths, and Path to Exiles and Tribal Flames. Loam Lions, Noble Hierarchs, Tarmogoyfs, No Wild and Cattles, Geist of St. Traff, 2 Snapcaster, 2 Elspeth.
He hasn't gone all the way, and a lot of Zoolists are just slamming Siege Rhinos, too. So he hasn't gone that route.
No. He still has the black mana on, attached to a Blood Crypt, just to kind of get the full 5 on the flames. But yeah, otherwise I don't think there's actually a requirement for it.
Voice of Resurgence was one of the most annoying cards I had to deal with from the black-green X side against Pod.
Correct.
So that is interesting as a tech, is that, and I guess has some synergy with making a lot of Lingering Soul tokens.
Yep.
What I really like for sure is just curious to see how many Tectonic Edges Junk will play, because you know they're playing 3 colors and adding colorless lands can. Like, we're seeing this guy play 3, whereas Reed Duke had 1 Miser, and it's, you know, one of the annoying answers to Ink Moth Nexus, one of the more effective ones.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious about that.
Well, I'm going through and I'm clicking on all the Abzan lists, and it looks like some number of 1, 2, or 3 is correct. But I think that ubiquitously, basically everyone's on 3 Fulminator Mage in their sideboard.
Yeah.
So. And those will 100% come in against you as infect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, I don't know, Modern is so super exciting. And the fact that we've got like a whole 2 weeks to test before the Pro Tour is so delicious. So delicious. Yes, I'm happy.
How happy?
Like 6 to 12 happy.
Oh,
yeah. Raging baby arm boner. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
That sounds exciting.
That's a little ridiculous. Let's be reasonable here.
Yeah. So I don't know. Modern has been a love of mine for a really long time, and I feel like it's back. I feel like I've been given the right to love it again after it, you know, went on vacation and slept with my neighbor. I don't know. It's just
wow. Modern's a jerk.
So nice. No, it's back. It's so sorry. and it got tested. It doesn't have anything. Like, it's 100% okay. I'm pretty excited. And
I don't think you should let Modern push you around like that.
I know.
Like, I as your friend.
But I love her
that,
so
that's
much.
That's just, that's really not cool.
Yeah.
Modern should know better.
It's too
respect
good.
You.
It's too good.
Last couple of days, I'm just spamming Jeremy. I'm like, make me a Dark Deal deck. I'm like, can this actually beat Infect?
Yeah, okay, so did you understand, like, the concept of what's happening in that Dark Deal deck? Do you understand the second that you cast Dark Deal, you have no deck left? Like, it literally puts your library into the graveyard.
Count on the judge for that one. Elucidate.
Okay.
No, is the answer. He obviously doesn't get
it. I did not get it.
Okay, so turn four is a massive turn with that deck that I posted for you to, like, take a peek at.
Okay.
So you were playing with, let me just bring up, I had a list of it on Magic Online here that was kind of like my, what was I calling
it? What does Dredgescape Zombie do?
Dredgescape Zombie? Okay. So that guy there is a 2-mana 2/1, so really, really lame. But what he does is...
Good start.
The big thing about him is that he is a zombie, and he costs 1 black mana to unearth.
Okay.
And why that's important is because if you have a wiped board, and you have no cards in hand, and like your opponent has like tapped you out, you can unearth the Dredgescape Zombie and then pay 2 more mana to cast 2 Gravecrawlers. And get the Gravecrawler engine going back and going and getting all those Vengevines going again. So he's just a very cheap zombie to get into play for a turn.
Okay.
So that's his big piece in the in the puzzle. So where this this crazy card, Dark Deal, where it kind of fits into things is that you're playing like a kind of a full complement of your Golgari Grave Trolls. You're playing a full set of Stinkweed Imps. In the list that I had, I think we were playing Thugs. I just want to...
No Thugs.
No Thugs in it? Okay, let me bring it up. I've been playing around with it a bit.
Can confirm no Thugs.
Can confirm no... Okay. Do. Okay. Okay, so we've got Stinkweed Imps. We've got the Golgari Grave Trolls. And what we're trying to do off of it is when we cast the Dark Deal, we discard our hand. So if we have any Delve or any Dredge cards in our hand, then we're going to get to redraw them off of the dredge. So we're dredging 6 and we're dredging 5.
Okay.
So what we want to do is on turn 1, we don't really want to be doing a lot. Maybe we want to be dark blasting. Maybe we want to get something stupid out. Oh my goodness. Why can't I think the name of any of these fucking cards? I'm so fucking bad. Gravecrawlers out. We just want to be doing something dumb. We don't want to be dumping a lot of cards. Turn 2, perfect turn 2 would just be a Seder Wayfinder. We'd be very happy with that. Because on turn 3, we want to dump the entire hand, and we want to redraw off of this Dark Deal and fill the graveyard with everything off of our dredge. In a perfect world, turn 2 would probably actually be a Lotla Troll that we can turn into a monster on turn 3 after we resolve Dark Deal. So at that point there, we're probably going to have something, a minimum of 2 Vengevines in the graveyard, very possibly even more. Potentially, we'll have Slitherheads that we can bring back. We've got the Blood Ghasts that are in there. We've got our Gravecrawlers that we're going to use to bring out our Vengevines. But we've also got, like, Hakan, like, just a random one of Hakan, because he's also a zombie. And he's a 3-mana guy that can be cast from the graveyard and, you know, a bit of a beater. So that's where we're just going to have this massive attack on that turn that's going to be for a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. And is going to potentially win the game on that turn. And, like, that's the thing, is that if we feel like we got enough Vengevines and stuff like that in the yard, we can actually draw a couple of cards off of that Dark Deal as well.
It's fair.
So that's kind of what the game plan is with that particular deck. The other thing I like about it is I like it when you kind of, like, random a person out. I've always been a big fan of the 1-mana red spell where both players draw 3 cards and then discard 3 cards. Just because of how disruptive it can be, it can kind of change a guy's... change a guy's line, it can confuse a guy, it can make him have to stop and make more decisions. Whereas it doesn't really affect you because you just want cards in your graveyard. So Become Immense in this particular deck that I posted, I don't know how it would fit because it's very vulnerable to the actual randomness of the deck. You know, there's a very good chance that
you'll never actually cast Become Immense, because as soon as you start drawing cards out of your graveyard, like, it has to be in your opening hand for it to be any good. And then you have to not be on the Dark Deal plan when you cast it. You have to do it before the Dark Deal. Because you don't want to draw cards. You want to dredge. You want to just dredge.
Yikes.
So that's kind of the thought there with this wonderful little pile.
It's a terrible little concoction.
Yeah. And like, that's what I was looking at.
How much time should I test this, Jer?
Huh?
How much time should I invest in this?
Well, I'm going to invest time in it probably as soon as it becomes on Magic Online. Like, as soon as it hits Magic Online, I'm probably going to just jam as many matches with it as I can and try and figure out where it's not working. Like, okay. Hakan might just be bad. He might just be not what I want. I do like the fact that I can cast him onto the board off of a clear board again. And ideally, he's going to be like a turn four card. So that is important when I'm trying to, you know, my turn three is usually the turn where I'm going to dump a lot of stuff into the graveyard. And I was thinking why I like to usually play red in dredge decks is because you get access to the Faithless Looting. And I think the Seder Wayfinder plus the Dark Deal kind of take away like that odd turn. Turn three is really good in the red, black, green version, because you can have like that perfect turn where you somehow manage to mill a Vengevine or two into the yard, and you can do the Lotla Troll, discard Gravecrawler, cast Gravecrawler, and get your Vengevine out of the yard. Like, that just puts a ton of pressure on the board. Like, you have 11 power on the board, or 9 power on the board, or whatever the case may be. Plus whatever you had on your turn one. But Lotla Troll's a good card. Yeah.
So the red would be able to find, like you said, Dark Deal more consistently.
Well, no, you're not trying to... If you don't find Dark Deal, I don't think this is a bad deck. Like, I don't think this deck fails to Dark Deal because Seder Wayfinder.
Right.
Wayfinder does put stuff into the yard. It kind of gets the job done. Like, you are playing with creatures that are a little bit weaker than, you know, some of the other things you're going to be doing at that point. And why you're playing with those cards is because your cards have the ability to get obscene. And Dark Deal is almost like the combo piece. Like, I was equating this to something similar to like a twin deck, in that you can kind of like put cards on the board and do things and maybe be a little bit disruptive with like your Dark Blast or, you know, some sort of like Become Immense and just trading your guys with them. But then eventually you're just going to have a Dark Deal turn where you dump everything and all of a sudden now you've literally like drawn your deck and it's just like, okay, if I can cast two blood or Gravecrawlers this turn, I'm going to be attacking with 16 power. Because I've got all my Vengevines.
Okay.
So yeah, questions, things like unanswered questions with this list that I had was, do the Delve cards need to be in here? Like, does Become Immense actually add anything to the deck, or should it be playing a little bit more on the Dark Deal side of things? Is 7 big dredger creatures enough? Because I do also have the Dark Blast, and I also am running 3 of the Dakmor Salvage, so that's also another dredge card. Are those enough cards to kind of make things work? The one thing I like about the Dakmor Salvage is that if you get a bunch of blood gas into the yard, it is a land that you can draw from your graveyard and put into play to get your blood gas going again. Because that's one of the things that these decks also suffer at, like dredge decks, is that usually the lands that you start off with in your hand are the only lands that you'll ever play. Because you never draw lands once you start dredging. Because you're never drawing lands out of your graveyard. So that's where the Dakmor Salvage can come in, and why I would play this many. Normally, I would never put 3 Dakmor Salvage into a deck. But with a Dark Deal, I know I'm going to load up the graveyard, and then I'm going to want to start pulling them and have it so that every turn I can cast it. And if I can't kill him in 3 turns, then I just don't deserve to win. Like, the deck's just not going to win from that position. But at that point there, I should have enough stuff in play that I might be able to actually draw one of the few cards left in my deck.
Well.
So I just need the Dark Deal to actually be on Magic Online so I can play around with it and see how it works. If it actually seems like it's going to be the nut every time I cast it, or if it's just a little too fidgety.
This week.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait. Like, I'm bringing my laptop with me to San Jose with like the secret hope that, like, if things go bad, that I can just, like, jam Magic Online like a fiend.
Is that this weekend? I keep forgetting.
It is this weekend.
Wow.
So if you are listening to this on Thursday, I'm landing in San Jose, so come find me, bro. If you're listening to it on Friday, I'm in San Jose. Come find me, bro.
Nice.
If you're listening to it on Saturday, you're probably not playing in the GP, but just come on down for a side event and come find me, bro. Sunday, same story. And then Monday, just pull here.
I love it.
Yeah. But come find me, bro. We can play the magical cards. I'm going to bring all of this stuff down, so I'm going to have like this deck built and brought with me.
Nice.
I'm still working on my blue-black dredge list, which I want to play out more like a control deck that just can rely on something like blood ghasts and I don't know if I want it to be like more of an unearth style deck. Like unearth and delve type spells. Because like you guys oh my goodness, what card were we talking about? The Monastery Siege seemed like a pretty interesting card.
Oh yeah. You either draw an extra card a turn or you Frost Titan them?
Yeah. Yeah, you draw another card and discard a card.
Oh, you have to discard a card.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's great in dredge.
Yeah, it's super good in dredge. Yeah, it's interesting because it's a card that from a modern perspective I'm still very interested in. And it's one that I will test for sure. Like it depends on how good Burn is, right? If Burn ends up being Burn was amazing, by the way, with Treasure Cruise. Like it was just very, very, very powerful because you just reload and it was just insane. But you now kind of trapped in the scenario where you only have access to so many spells and you don't really have a lot of velocity through your deck. So, you know, you kind of are, it becomes a combo deck again. Instead of like a lean, mean Tommy Gun machine, it is back to a combo deck where do I have three lands and, you know, four spells that deal three damage? You know, can I draw a couple more? Like that's basically the whole deck. So it's if it becomes really popular and Abzan is similarly popular, then it's very possible that Monastery Siege just becomes like a snap sideboard potential for all blue decks. Because if you like make their lightning bolts and their stupid spells cost three mana, then you're like way ahead.
Yeah, that's insanity. So yeah, if you can get ahead of them, that's what I like about it. Like if you can get ahead of them, you can lock them down almost.
Yeah. The other thing that I like about it too is like so it doesn't stop abilities, which is really, really important. So Frost Titan basically says spells or abilities you have to pay two mana. Monastery Siege is just spells, but it affects you and your permanents.
Yeah.
So discard spells facing you, burn spells facing you, removal spells facing your opponent, or facing your permanents. Pretty good for three mana. So, does that stop Storm too?
Okay, just a second.
Spells your opponent cast that target you or a permanent
cast
you
is
control.
Keyword.
Okay, cast. So only the first one costs two more?
Yes.
Okay, what a blowout. Someone thinks this is an answer at the BT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? It happens again. Like I love my story of like the guy like nearly bursting into tears as he realized that his Grafdigger's Cage does nothing to eggs.
Yeah,
because it's like when I beat him, it did take like nearly like 10 minutes to beat him. And like he had to just sit there and watch.
Yes.
That's why I like playing those decks, because I'm not a nice person inside when it comes to that. I just love that you sit back and watch.
That's why you're a scumbag.
Yeah, that is really scummy. But I love it. It's delicious.
Yeah. So I'm I don't know. I think Monastery Siege could be a sweet card. It's one of the cards that I will certainly be testing, and it'll be interesting to see how the meta shapes up online in the next little bit. So
agreed.
Yeah, everybody and their mother will be testing like crazy. Modern events will be firing like it was, you know, start of the format again.
They are firing like crazy right now. Like they're still going. It's going to be absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, I didn't mention. Oh, I got to mention. I actually played against LSV in a two-man, at least his account in a two-man queue last night with Infect.
Did you win?
And I punted Infinite.
What was he playing?
He was playing, from what I can see, Teemer Twin.
Yeah. Okay.
He was testing that out. With Peaks, like a pretty classic list, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, he peeked, saw what was up, and I played like a noob, so he got me. But I'll get my revenge in 2 weeks.
So disappointing.
Well, yeah, that's certainly one of the top decks heading into the Pro Tour.
Teemer Twin, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Goyf. Gotta get,
interesting.
Gotta have those Goyfs.
Interesting.
Yeah, man. Talk to Cappy. Cappy's all about it.
For Patrick Diekman.
He doesn't... Oh, yeah, I guess. I guess he's back onto Tarmo Twin. Yeah.
What?
God, his accent makes me laugh. Just brings me joy. He just seems... He comes off, like, initially... I just remember the first time we ever saw him on camera, and they came off so socially awkward. It's just like... It was, like, the last place he wanted to be was in front of that camera. It was a crazy time. He apparently also is well-known to be, like, an MTGO Salt Rager.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He is Salt.
So
Salt Rager?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
He's almost like Gashadi Salt.
I don't know what that is. Just I only know the what's it called? The rumors.
The rumors?
Like, I've never seen him actually...
Oh, yeah.
I only know the rumors
the fables?
Yeah.
He had, like, a whole giant posted thing about Jerry T. Like, Jerry T, like, went and, like, posted publicly where? Made his... One of his salt fests. Jared's, at least.
It was on Facebook, I think.
Yeah.
Facebook and all that kind of fun stuff. On Facebook. Yeah. I know that's how he got one of his accounts banned for life.
Nice. Yeah. For life, even.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a question, too. Yeah. Now okay. that Crux exists.
Crux, yes.
The 5-mana black wrath.
Yes.
What do we think of, like, blue, black, and or Esper control now in standard? Do we think that that could potentially do something?
Blue, yes. Black's a card.
Yeah.
A card.
A deck. Blue, black is a deck.
Yep.
Yeah, like well, how would you build that? Because I'm really interested in ranching people at my local store, again, with blue, black, do nothing, you can't have any fun, haha.
Okay. That's entirely possible.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I want to talk about that.
Well, there was a list.
Oh, damn it.
I got 14.
Link it.
Here, if I go like this, and I copy this, and I do this thing, and then I do this
thing. By Ryan Frainer? Yep.
79129?
What? Yes, 79129. One Prolake Agent, one Silumgar, the Drifting Death, one Ugin, the Spirit Dragon. Aside from that, you're looking at two Perilous Vault, 4 Bile Blight, 4 Dig Through Time, 3 Disdainful Stroke, 4 Dissolve, 4 Heroes Downfall, 2 Aces, Jace's Ingenuity, 1 Murderous Cut, 3 Crux of Fate, 2 Thoughtseize.
Jesus. That sounds like so much fun.
And 28 lands.
Oh my god. Nobody needs that many lands.
Well, I mean, two of them gain you... I mean, the lands gain you life.
They survive. Oh, yeah, you play those ones, yeah. What colors was it? Just blue black?
Just blue black.
Blue black. And it runs Jorbai Malk Lurker.
Sideboard is Jorbai Malk Lurker. It's an M15 uncommon. It's a 1/3 for blue and 2, but it gets +1/+1 as long as you control a swamp. So it becomes a 2/4 for 3 mana. And okay. He has this ability that says black 1, target creature gains lifelink until end of turn.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that card from
the Gray Starfish Idiot.
Yeah, I remember that card from Limited.
Yeah.
With, like, Frost Links and shit.
Yeah. Elliot Jones similarly has a list. Only 1 Prolake Agent, 1 Ugin, 1 Perilous Vault. And then he's also got, like, extra copy of Murderous Cut, he's got some Dissipates in the deck, Silence the Believers, Divination, Read the Bones. All sorts of crap going on.
So, it doesn't sound like anything as good as, like, Frost Titan, Grave Titan.
Correct.
No. No.
Yeah. Oh, you get Ugin. Come on.
But you don't have, you like, Ugin. Liliana.
Ugin.
No, you don't, but you get Ugin.
Ugin.
You get Ugin. Ugin.
Ugin. Ugin.
Ugin. Yeah, this deck, I was, like, really hyped to play it, but now I'm like,
I think you'll love it. I think you'll love it.
Oh, dear. I wonder if I would like that deck.
I said you would love it!
Okay!
Yeah,
I got it.
Get it? Got it? Good.
So, yeah, that's lots of stuff going on this week.
Yes.
Yep. You are, San Jose is team sealed?
Team sealed.
Are you judging or playing?
Playing.
Oh, who's your team?
My team is Nick Danilishin, my buddy from Edmonton that I travel and do tournaments with.
Okay.
And then Marcin Szczesinski, who is a dude from my top eight in Vancouver that I did very well. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. He used to be in Ireland and moved to Silicon Valley. So we're going to crash at his place and play in the tournament.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. He was actually like the big inspiration to like go to it. He like sent me a message and said, "Hey, I want to play in this tournament. I want you on my team." So I was like, "Okay, let's make it happen."
Can't argue that.
Yeah, and now a cat is trying to claw through my door, so I'm going to step away from the mic for a second.
Goddamn cat. Is that this weekend, this tournament that Jared's going to?
Yeah.
Is that the only tournament this weekend?
Yep. Well, I mean, I think there's a Star City event.
And when's your pro tour, KYT?
The weekend after.
Okay.
There is an SCG Open event in Indianapolis this week. It's a Legacy Open.
Ooh.
So, hot Legacy action on SCG this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I'll just be, like, playing insane quantities of MTGO. That's what I'll be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be really good.
Yeah,
this weekend coming up is my birthday party for turning 30. So I'll be doing...
No, 80s party?
Yeah, 80s party, yeah. It's going to be sweet. I'm trying to convince my wife to dress up as Goose from Top Gun. Because I already have the jumpsuits, and I've never done this cliched dress-up before. And she said, "Who's that?"
What?
And I said, "It's Maverick's best friend that dies." And she said, "Who's Maverick?" And I said, "Sign these papers."
I need a divorce.
Just sign these papers.
Instant. She's watched it since that conversation, right?
False!
False!
She's completely not interested.
And that matters why?
I said,
"Wow,
yeah, what a bunch of hogwash."
Yeah, like just put it on.
Yeah, so she wants to go as Pretty in Pink and Ducky.
What?
No.
Yeah,
it's your birthday. Why do you have to be the loser?
Hello.
Yeah.
Although I did get 380 CDs for $5 total, at Walmart. So that should be fun.
You got what? 380 CDs for $5 total?
Yeah, like jamming at the 80s, like some like Footloose and Flashdance and
sweet
shit. It was $5 for 3 CDs at Walmart. That's how good CDs are doing.
Nice, nice.
So, yeah.
Is that how good the 80s are doing?
Well,
maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah, because you got to remember the 90s are now the 80s to this damn 90 kid.
It's true.
Ugh. How bad does that feel to say it aloud? So, yeah. So you guys, good luck with your shit.
I don't think this is the same movie.
I'll be talking.
So it's look for all sorts of crazy shit. Watch my stream at Thursday at 4 p.m. That's 1 o'clock Pacific, where I battle all of the good. All of the amazing players. So that's today for those of you that are listening to this on Thursday. Likely going to be streaming at some point over the weekend. Maybe do some videos for KYT. We'll see how it all turns out. Want to get some crazy team guys testing. The team guys train has started. I will be streaming. Obviously, I will have streamed Tuesday. I don't know what I'm going to stream. I might just have to do a KTK draft. But we'll see.
That doesn't seem fun at all.
Doesn't seem fun at all, but Cube's done. Maybe I can just update my modern deck and see what happens. I'll just update it. Maybe is everyone playing like Gentleman's Agreement, not playing Pod?
No.
Is that happening?
No.
No.
No, huh?
No, people are going on there and they're preying on people who are not playing Pod.
Exactly.
You know, like yeah.
That's, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
But more often than not, I get just a random deck. So, but there are still people that play
The
cruise.
Yeah, Also, for those of you that don't know, I also have started streaming again. So I was supposed to have a meeting with Scotty last Thursday, but the fucker didn't.
Yeah, I didn't show up. I'm sorry.
And he didn't even call. He just didn't show up.
I 100% just no sir showed you.
Just fucking no showed. Yeah, so that's great. So my stream, you know, it takes a little bit of work, but it's getting there. And so I'll be doing that. I do that almost probably every day. I'm trying to do as much as I can. So.
Nice.
If you want to come check it out. I mean, it probably won't be MTGO. Although I have gotten offers from people that they'll bankroll me on MTGO. I just can't bring myself to accept that offer yet.
Oh, Moto Sugar Daddy's the best.
Yeah, it's true. I just like don't know if I'll be able to like get through the software and the frustration, and I'll just be like one of those salt ragers. I like that word.
I don't know what that you guys are talking about. Like honestly, the gameplay's fine. Trading's a bit of a hassle, but
yeah. So building a deck in the gameplay is less fun than than V3, but the gameplay's fun. Actually, I almost think the gameplay's better.
Yeah, the gameplay is very good.
So
yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna be falling for your tricks, Jeremy Scumbag. You just want to pod me. Don't you?
No way, man. I've been like running like all kinds of random stuff.
You don't believe me?
Yeah. What about
him?
Well,
you no-showed me on Thursday, so fuck yeah.
True.
Yeah. I can't even remember why.
You're a dirty cunt.
No, I think I was actually busy with something. Like Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Actually busy.
Thursday was a shit show.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, text message takes like 5 seconds, that's all.
Yeah, that would mean that I would have to actually have juice in my phone. Because I probably killed it that day.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Excuses. Fucking guy only works at a cell phone store.
Hmm? Only. No, I don't even work at a cell phone store. So funny.
Guy works at a cell phone store.
Yeah, like, no, yeah. It's like, it's 2015. Nobody has a cell phone. Nobody has those.
Nope. None.
Email. I'm sure you didn't go online at all.
Nuns. Nuns.
Anyway, that's our show for this week. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
I love you all.